Our coverage of You Decide 2024 is presented by Big Fish Roofing. They're the roofers you can trust. Big Fish Roofing.
This is something that is really a Pandora's box for bad policies.
Governor Ron DeSantis campaigning against Amendment 4, one of the biggies this election season. Good morning, and thank you for being with us. Rich Jones, Christine Bellino with you. And we're going to be putting two of the six state constitutional amendments in focus this morning. These two have been played out in court. They've been all over radio and television and social media advertising, and perhaps two of the most consequential, certainly contentious, this election season. Florida Amendment 4. Has to do with abortion and the government's ability to restrict women from having one before viability or when it's necessary to protect their life. On the campaign trail, Action News' Jack's Jake Stofan has been following all sides of this debate and through the courts as well in the capturing of all of the signatures that were necessary just to get this on the ballot and the potential of litigation that comes after Election Day, November 5th. And Dr. Michael Binder, who is the director of the University of North Florida Public Opinion Research Lab, and a survey just out Monday, October 21st, which was done on a number of issues of likely Florida voters, Amendments 3 and 4 included. Both of you, good morning. And why don't we start with how Floridian likely voters, Mike, are feeling about the abortion amendment and how that's changed since the summertime when you were starting to poll this?
Yeah, so you need to get to 60%. That's important for all of your listeners to know. This isn't a simple majority and the ballot measure passes. You need 60% in Florida. And our results had Amendment 4 polling exactly at 60%, you know, 60.3% if you want to get real specific. But this is something that has changed dramatically since the summertime. We had it at 69 back in the summer. And really, there's really one thing to point to. The active campaign against this ballot measure really directed from the governor's mansion. And within that, you can see that in our data. Back in July, a majority of Republicans, 53%, were supportive of this measure. Now it's flipped totally around where 53% are opposed to this measure. And you can point directly to that campaign and the effort that Ron DeSantis has put in to try and stop this.
The number of undecideds was at 8%, which to me was kind of a surprisingly high statistic when you consider how polarizing the abortion issue is. But perhaps is that part of the messaging that's been coming out, raising doubts for people?
Well, that not only that, but yeah, the ballot measure is contentious. And there's a lot of information. But think about where people generally sit on the abortion issue. Yes, we've known about this for generations and generations. We've thought about, but a lot of people have a very nuanced perspective on this. Sure, there's folks on the extremes where never under any circumstances or always under all circumstances, but the vast majority of people, well, yeah, under this circumstance, yeah, maybe this isn't the best, maybe not for me, maybe for somebody else. So there's a lot of gray in this issue, and that's something that we're seeing with some of those undecideds.
As it reads on your ballot, abortion, no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability or when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the patient's health care provider. This amendment does not change the legislature's constitutional authority to require notification to a parent or guardian before a minor has an abortion. And then there's a very lengthy paragraph that talks about impact. And as we see often or all the time with these constitutional measures is the potential financial or fiscal impact. And we'll get into that with Amendment 3. Is this as nonpartisan as language can be, or do we have to look even at this through the lens of partisanship?
Well, the description of the ballot measure is written by people that put the ballot measure on the ballot. So that's obviously written with passage in mind. That being said, it got the thumbs up approval from the Supreme Court, where you can really see an enormous influence, essentially a campaign ad, is the fiscal impact for the abortion measure. And that's something that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily see. Typically speaking, on these types of policies, the fiscal impact is, you know, limited or none or undetermined, something like that. But this is practically a full-blown campaign against Amendment 4 written into the fiscal impact. And that's something that's different and really was directed by everything that's coming out of Tallahassee right now.
Jake, you've been following some of the court challenges of the signatures and the like, and now the governor has been on the campaign trail as early voting is underway in Florida. Is that sticking with voters, at least supporters of DeSantis who are showing up to these venues and these events?
I mean, like Dr. Binder mentioned, we've obviously seen support slightly drop for this this ballot measure. So obviously, I mean, there's a lot of messaging out there. When people are going to look at this on their ballot, they're, like Dr. Binder said, going to read basically a fiscal impact statement that contemplates just about every potential legal challenge that could come up if this thing were to pass. You know, questions about the definition of healthcare provider, questions about the definition of viability. So while voters are considering this, those 8% who may be on the fence, they're going to read the plain language that, you know, would go into the Constitution or something very similar to it. And then they're going to have all these questions raised. So, you know, between that, between the Department of State Election Integrity Unit's investigation, it's raised some questions about potential petition fraud, and between the governor's own personal messaging, not to mention the ACA website that also raises a lot of these questions. I mean, it's really unprecedented in terms of, you know, state government being leveraged to essentially campaign against a political issue that, you know, questions could be raised about whether tax dollars should be used for that purpose. But it's happening, and it's laying the groundwork for what could be, even if Amendment 4 passes, a legal challenge to question whether it should have ever been on the ballot in the first place. And with a recent lawsuit that was just filed, we're already seeing people try to leverage that state investigation and you know, try to make that case.
Have we seen similar circumstances, Dr. Binder, of post-election litigation with a constitutional amendment that either disrupts or delays at least the implementation of it? Can we look back and say that this happened before in this year? I'm thinking of, like, voter felon restoration rights that were tied up in courts for a while, but I don't recall that anything's been as disruptive as this has been legally speaking.
Well, I mean, just literally today in Arkansas, a medical marijuana ballot measure has been deemed null by their state Supreme Court. It's on the ballot. People are going to vote on it. And their supervisor of elections were directed not to count the ballots. So recently in this election cycle, we've seen that sort of thing happen. In Florida, we've never seen the state mobilize to this level. Now, the state has dragged their feet on implementation, and you alluded to the Velan restoration. Even when medical marijuana was passed, the state dragged their feet for years on regulation before businesses could get up and running. So that's certainly something that has happened. But to this effect, to be laying the groundwork for legal challenges post-potential passage, that's relatively unprecedented. Remember, this went through the Supreme Court. All 67 counties verified the signatures. The state Supreme Court approved this process, approved the language. It's all gotten the thumbs up. To go back on the back end, you know, these challenges should have been made months ago.
Jake, some of the dark language that we've heard in the campaigning is about stripping away parental rights. Has that been coming out, and how are both supporters and those who are against Amendment 4 using that language in campaigning for and against it?
Well, there is a distinction that I've heard misrepresented at times during interviews. The language of the amendment does protect parental consent, or I'm sorry, parental notification, which is different than parental consent. They're two separate state laws. Consent would be a minor comes in seeking this procedure. At least one parent needs to give the okay before it can happen. Parental notification is you call, basically tell them this is happening. Whether they say yes or no, I mean, theoretically, the procedure can go on. So the argument that I've heard is that basically making that phone call is getting the parents involved in that decision. But obviously state leaders felt like that didn't go far enough because they, you know, passed an actual parental consent law that, you know, kind of raised the level of involvement or the required level of involvement. So, I mean, that, you know, parents' rights has been a big talking point in Florida politics for the last several years. And I think that, you know, that is kind of one of those distinctions we would likely see a legal challenge come out if this amendment were to pass, challenging the parental consent law. I mean, that's not guaranteed, but that's certainly the possibility that's been contemplated by opponents and obviously perpetuated and, you know, red flags raised about it. So, that, I mean, it could certainly be something that sways somebody one way or the other on this.
Consent and notification, two really vital words there in making a personal decision, Dr. Bender.
Right, and it's, as Jake laid out, right, there are differences between those two things, and the implications are, and we're talking about implications down the road based on lawsuits that may occur if this were to pass.
Right.
Right? So the language we're seeing on TV and in campaign ads is really multiple steps down the road. And it's always important to remember, the state that we live in, the Republicans and Republican governors have appointed all of the state Supreme Court justices. And it's rare that they get decisions that are counter to their preferences. It does happen on occasion, but it's not common.
Should Amendment 4 pass, Jake, when does the law change? Usually we see that it takes several months for all of the legalities to happen and whatnot. Is this an immediate effect thing? Do we know when things would be changing? Is it immediate?
Well, I know with Amendment 3, there's a buffer zone of 6 months or so, which would give time for the legislature to come in and draft implementing language. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Binder, but I don't know that Amendment 4 necessarily has an effective date. I think it might just sort of be an immediate thing, and then obviously it's lawsuit time and time to figure out which of the state laws are going to be nullified by the new constitutional provision.
Yeah, I'd imagine that, lawsuit time come, maybe if not November 6th. Again, I'm on the side of the fence that I think this is going to be exceptionally close, and I don't know that it's necessarily likely to pass. I do expect this to be 58-59%, something like that. This might be one of the few elections that aren't decided in Florida on November 5th. Mm-hmm. On November 5th, I expect we're going to know the results of almost all the election. There might be a congressional district, maybe a state house district or two that's really close that drags on. But statewide, I think we're going to know most of our results early. This one might hang out for a little bit.
Safe to say, though, no matter what happens, neither side is going to give up. So whether it passes or doesn't pass, the other side is going to continue this fight again.
Certainly. If this were not to pass, you're really starting from scratch. To get another ballot measure, you're talking tens of millions of dollars, if not $100 million, to get it on and run that campaign. And now you're looking at, at least 2 years from now before you have a meaningful chance to do something, certainly here in Florida.
Obviously, if it fails, then nothing changes in terms of the law. And it's a reminder that the law has changed multiple times, or at least the nuance has been from 15 weeks down to a 6 week, restriction that's put in place. That would continue to be the case, Jake, November 6th and beyond, while maybe there are efforts behind the scenes for a 2026 ballot amendment, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see there being any strong desire by the legislature to take on this issue and change the current state policy in any meaningful way. It's kind of, if you don't like the current situation, Amendment 4 is kind of the only opportunity you have as a voter to see any meaningful change on this issue in Florida.
At the end of the day, Mike, is there a psychological decision that someone is making on this issue when they're driving and parking in the lot, walking in and casting their ballot because of how they feel about the issue? And can we gauge that even in polling?
I mean, I think you can to some extent. Listen, obviously there's some folks that are maybe less plugged in and aren't thinking about this all the time. And honestly, they're probably not listening to us talk about this right now. And they'll make that decision day of. And that's hard to measure. But one thing that's interesting, you alluded to the poll that we released recently. We asked people about their approval of the Dobbs decision in general. And obviously, Democrats were more opposed to it and Republicans were more supportive of it.
That's the U.S. Supreme Court decision that upended Roe v. Wade.
That led to the initial 15-week ban, and now the 6-week ban that Florida has passed. 21% of Republicans either strongly or somewhat supported the Dobbs decision that essentially undid Roe, but at the same time indicated that they were going to vote yes on Amendment 4. And you might look at that and not understand what's going on there, But you know, you can see if you think back to the Republican Party, maybe not a Trump Republican Party, but prior to Trump, of kind of a small government Republican Party that says, listen, you know, I might like the idea of states' rights. It just so happens that I don't necessarily think that either my moral compass aligns with this, or I don't want to impose it on somebody else. So I could certainly see how somebody might say, yeah, you know, great, states' rights, let people do it, you know, what states they want. It just so happens that in this case, maybe I want to expand this limit, because 6 weeks, in all honesty, isn't really 6 weeks the way we count pregnancies here in America. You know, you don't know until you're pregnant until, you know, multiple weeks down the line, and then they backdate it to the best estimate of when your last period was and maybe when the egg dropped. So there's a lot of, you know, 6 weeks is probably closer to three in a lot of senses. Hmm.
It's going to be razor thin, the margin. Were you about to go ahead and try?
I was going to say, plus you got the 24-hour delay law. You got the two-appointment requirement. So, yeah, that chips away at the 6 weeks as well.
Safe to say that on November 6th, even if we know the decision, this is not the end of the abortion debate in the state of Florida. It just depends on what the debate might look, sound like, and then how much money may ultimately be spent on the next layers of it. That's one of six amendments that are on the ballot as you're making these key decisions. The other one is recreational marijuana, which would change our current structure and status in the state of Florida as a medicinal marijuana state. We'll dive deeper into that, some of the polling that we have seen for support, some of the maybe surprises for people who are putting their money forward and their voices behind passing Amendment 3 as our spotlight. And You Decide 2024 continues on Jacksonville's Morning News. It's 919.